This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
200 episodes down, and now that we are moving into episode 201, I'm getting a little wild. We're going to throw a curveball on the podcast today. On the TriDot Triathlon Podcast, we are going to talk about what it's like to produce a triathlon podcast. Very meta of us, if you ask me. My entire guest list today are TriDot coaches and TriDot athletes who themselves produce and host a triathlon podcast. Look at that. We've got five of us representing four different shows. And first up, from the 303 Endurance Podcast, we have TriDot coach Rich Soares from Denver, Colorado. Rich has been coaching triathletes since 2017. He's been coaching with TriDot since 2021, and he has been podcasting since 2015. His triathlon journey began in 2006, and he, impressively, is a five-time Ironman finisher himself. Rich, welcome to the show.
Andrew, thank you very much. It's a great to be with you and my fellow triathlon and podcasting peeps, tri-dotters and triathlon podcasters in one podcast. This should be a wild ride.
Next podcaster up, we have Mike Bosch from the Everyday Ironman podcast. Mike is a storyteller from Fort Worth, Texas, where he works full-time as a project manager. He started podcasting in 2021. He began TriDot training in 2022. And here in 2023, he is working towards his goal of a sub 6-hour half Ironman finish that he's hoping happens at 70.3 Oregon very soon. Mike, thanks for joining us to talk about podcasting.
Oh, Andrew, I'm excited and humbled at the same time to be in this incredible group of podcasters and TriDot athletes. So thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
The last podcast represented today, I have 2/3 of the podcasting personalities behind the Triathlon Age Group Journey podcast. TriDot coach Matt Sumar and TriDot ambassador Jillian Carlson. Matt is the fitness director at Alamance Country Club in Burlington, North Carolina, and is a TriDot founding master coach, coaching with TriDot since 2018. He is an 8-time Boston Marathon finisher and an 8-time Ironman finisher. Now, Jillian is a TriDot ambassador from Seattle, Washington. She works full-time as a financial controller for a global asset management company. She found TriDot in 2019 and went all in. She has raced everything from super sprints to Ironman Lake Placid, but her favorite is the 70.3 distance, and she has qualified twice now for the 70.3 Ironman World Championships. Matt, Jillian, what's up, y'all?
Thanks, Andrew. Super excited to be here. As like everybody else, just excited to talk triathlon with more people. I mean, that's why we started the podcast, and it's going to be exciting to share stories and hear everybody else's story. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. It'll be interesting to be on this side of the podcast today for once. So looking to get some tips that we might be able to share with our cohort, Jay.
Yes, and thank you for giving Jay a shout out, because Jay Cugnay, is the third host of your show. And he actually was the one who, I think, Matt, you said had the idea for the show in the first place. So
yeah,
shout out to Jay. Okay, well, I am Andrew, the Average Triathlete. I represent the TriDot Triathlon Podcast. I'm the voice of the people and the captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our podcasting main set conversation, and then we'll wind things down with Vanessa taking over to interview a different TriDot coach for the cooldown. Extremely excited to have 2Toms as the anti-chafing partner of TriDot. 2Toms is always working on revolutionary new products designed to prevent chafing, blisters, odors, and sweat. Their passion is to keep you moving. With all the training we do, it is vital to take care of our skin. None of us want to shut down our swimming, biking, and running simply because a blister forms in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Thankfully, our friends at 2Toms prevent blisters before they even happen. For the ultimate anti-chafing experience, you can either roll on or wipe on 2Toms Sport Shield, Sport Shield Extra, or Blister Shield. I use Two Toms most often to prevent my wetsuit from rubbing the back of my neck, my bike saddle from causing any saddle sores, and my running shoes from creating any hot spots on my feet. Two Toms is always on deck at Tridot Pool School to keep our swimmers from getting any blisters from drilling with fins. For any occasion where your skin could rub, Two Toms has you covered. Whatever skin protectant or chamois cream you are using right now, I am telling you, Two Toms is better. Go to Metadyne.com to try Two Toms today. And when you do, use promo code TRIDOT for 20% off your order.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Upon reaching the finish line, most races hand us a nice, shiny, well-earned medal to mark the accomplishment of completing that event. But there are, in my opinion, many other day-to-day accomplishments where we do not get a medal. And yeah, you know what? Maybe we should. Sometimes life is hard. I don't know. Sometimes I just want a little recognition for something normal that I accomplished in my day-to-day life. So, Matt, Mike, Jillian, Rich, what is an everyday life task that you think you deserve a triathlon-style medal for each time you complete it? Jillian, ladies first.
Well, Andrew, I am a simple and easy eater, and because of that, I'm probably a boring cook. Okay. Therefore, if I can come up with a meal idea and I can execute the cooking properly such that both of my kids, 15 and 12, will actually eat it and not complain, then I truly feel like I should earn a medal. I still probably would end up with more race medals hanging than from actual triathlons than I would from my kid approved medals, but they actually would be harder earned.
Yeah. I mean, swimming, biking, and running to us, it comes easier than some day-to-day life tasks. And yes, Jillian, I also think you should get a medal each time everybody in the household is happy with the meal that you cook.
Thank you, Andrew.
So next up, Matt Sumar, what is this answer for you?
It's funny. Mine falls along the same lines. It has to do with food. You know, this past year, Father's Day, I got this amazing present. I'm not a big material guy, but my sons came to me with a present, real simple t-shirt. And it said one thing: I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. I deserve a medal when I can remain kind when I'm hungry during the day. Because I work on the clock and I cannot always schedule my eating times, and there are times that I get hangry, and having to maintain composure and being kind and bite my tongue sometimes, it's hard. I deserve a medal.
I agree.
All right, Mike Bosch, what is this answer for you, sir?
Well, I'm not sure if this counts, but I'm pretty sure my wife would say that I act like I deserve a medal anytime I help with some housework. So I'm going to go with household chores.
Okay. There are a lot of spouses and partners nodding their heads right now because they are on either side of that equation, right? They're either the one that doesn't help probably enough or the one that does a little bit more of the load. So yeah, we'll let that go unspoken who is which on this podcast, but great example there. For the times that you think you deserve a medal when maybe you're just doing your fair share for once. Yeah, totally get it. Rich Torres, Denver, Colorado, what is this answer for you?
Well, Andrew, I would love to have a medal for every one of my daily workouts that I do, but I already have that sort of covered with my, you know, occasional unicorns and pony corns.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Even that elusive, you know, narwhal, but we all do that. And we all do that willingly. So I would have to say mine is also a mundane chore. I dread emptying the dishwasher, and my wife and I have very distinct roles here. She fills, I empty. So when I hear that little tune that says the dishwasher is done, I get over there and get that thing done as soon as I can because I don't want it hanging over my head. It sure would make it nice to have a medal as a reward.
That'd be a nice medal rack. Yeah, there you could really get crazy with some dishwasher themed medals. That's for sure. But and Rich, in my household, we actually have the same kind of assignments. And frankly, it's just because I hate washing dishes, but I absolutely do not mind taking them out. And my wife hates taking out the clean dishes, but she does not mind washing them. And she's way faster at washing them. So if she watches me wash them, it just frustrates her because she knows that she could have been done a long time ago and I'm still trucking along. So we actually have the same exact roles as your household. So I'm identifying with that real close. My answer here right now, and this literally inspired this question because I've said this to my wife a couple of times. I wish I had a medal a couple of times for this, but we have a 4-month-old daughter. At the time we were recording this podcast, Ellie turned 4 3 days ago, and you know, it's getting her to eat, and she's a great baby. She's a phenomenal baby. She sleeps well. She eats well. She destroys diapers at an appropriate pace. But sometimes those feedings go really smoothly, and sometimes her feedings are a fight. And even though she is hungry, and I'm sure all the parents have been through this before, even though she is hungry and she's letting you know she's hungry, and you've got the bottle, you've got the food that she needs, and you've got that bottle in her mouth, sometimes she wants to make you work for it. And when it is a fussier eating session, if my wife and I, if whoever's doing it, if we can get her to down the entire bottle, both of us feel like high five, you did it. Great job. I know that was a tough one. And I think I deserve a medal for all the times I can get her to polish off a whole bottle when she's being fussy. So we're going to throw this question out to the TriDot community like we always do. I'm really curious what the TriDot audience has to say here. So on the I Am TriDot Facebook group, make sure you're a member of that group. Every single Monday when our new episode comes out, I pose the podcast warm-up question to our audience. So go find the post asking you this question and let us know. What in your day-to-day life would you like a medal every time you complete it?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Triathletes and cyclists love talking about their bikes, and I, of course, am no exception. I am so impressed by the quality of my Diamond Marquee TT bike. Every detail has been carefully engineered and crafted by the team at Diamond Bikes. My Marquee, complete with a custom TriDot paint scheme, sits proudly on the set of the TriDot Triathlon YouTube show for our audience to see. Their bikes are industry-leading aerodynamic machines, and they look awesome. But even beyond that, Diamond as a brand knows how to take care of their athletes. And with 5 different tri-bike models, as well as road, gravel, and mountain bikes, your next bike should absolutely be a Diamond. TriDot and Diamond are a dynamic race day 1-2 punch. Diamond provides you with a Ferrari of bikes, and TriDot Training develops your engine. So we are excited to partner with Diamond on some really cool offers. If you are a new to TriDot athlete, we're offering 6 months of the Mark Allen edition of TriDot with the purchase of a Diamond bike. If you are already a TriDot athlete, we are offering a TriDot store credit with your new bike. Head to diamondbikes.com for all of the info and to dream up your very own Diamond bike. Podcasts are great to listen to and great to learn from. They are fun and relatively easy to create. Literally anyone can make a podcast about anything. Some, of course, are very worth listening to, and others maybe not so much. But I give a hearty tip of the cap to anyone who is willing to put themselves out there and give podcasting a shot. And today on the show, we have some great TriDot coaches and athletes who have done just that. And in my opinion, everyone here is doing a bang-up job with their shows. So all of my TriDot podcasting friends, let's start here today. What inspired you to start a podcast in the first place? And I'm going to go in order of who's had their podcast the longest. And Coach Rich Soares, you actually are the longest tenured podcaster on the show today. What made you want to start a podcast in the first place?
Well, you know, I had just finished my 5th Ironman, and I was just in this place of, you know, introspective thought. And I'm like, I want to keep growing in the sport, but I'm not sure I want to keep growing in the sport by putting in longer distances or putting in more Ironman races necessarily. And I was an avid listener of the TriDot podcast, TriTalk podcast. I don't know if you're all familiar with David.
I was not around
Warden.
Back then, so yeah, great.
Yeah, great. David Warden was the host. He was also the coach for the Iron Cowboy, if you guys remember James Lawrence. Yeah. He had just retired from podcasting, and I'm having this inspiration to want to grow in the sport. And this idea occurred to me to have a podcast as just a normal person wanting to learn more about the sport and ask questions of coaches, experts, and professional athletes to share their knowledge with others. reached out to David Wharton, asked if he'd spend a couple of a couple of meetings just kind of teaching me the technology and the process, and that's how it all started.
That's really cool. And it's really cool to hear that David was great and spent the time to catch you up to speed. I think my show is the second oldest show represented here. So I'll just share from my angle. I was a tryout athlete, but well before I was staff. When I signed up for my first Ironman, it really made me kind of, like you said, Rich, I really wanted to learn more about the sport. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, like all of a sudden that's Ironman hanging over my head and I don't want to suck when I'm out there. And I knew, you know, tryout is this great brand. I'm enjoying the training. I knew they had just a ton of coaches that had just great institutional knowledge. And I was like, man, it would be really great if tryout had a podcast where it was coaches on the microphone, kind of just sharing their knowledge. I just envisioned a couple of tryout coaches sitting around microphones, just talking shop. And the more we dialogued about what the show could become and about what it would be, it kind of became almost like you're talking about, Rich, where I am Andrew, the average triathlete, just picking the brain of more knowledgeable people. So you had that idea well before we had that idea. So hats off to you. But yeah, it kind of turned into what we're doing now with just trying to get, there's so many great tryout coaches. Matt Summar is an example. He's been on the show before sharing his knowledge. And we're out here and we're still doing it 201 episodes later. So the third oldest show on the episode today, Mike Bosch, why did you start podcasting?
Yeah. So my triathlon journey actually has two phases. So pre-COVID and post-COVID. And pre-COVID, when I was going through my journey leading up to Ironman Texas, I wore everybody out that I knew. I have a small circle of friends and they just got tired of hearing it. And so when I got back into triathlon.
Stop talking about triathlon for the love of God.
I know, exactly. Right. So when I got back into triathlon after COVID, I was aware of podcasts. I hadn't listened to very many, but I was aware of it. And I thought, well, hey, this is a great way to talk to people. And I just did a little bit of research. I found out, you know, you need some simple equipment, you need a website host or whatever. And just started reaching out to people through Facebook, through Instagram. Hey, do you want to come on this podcast? And, you know, I got turned down a few times and I got accepted a few times. And it's just been an incredible experience, to be honest with you. I'm so glad that I did. But really, when it comes down to it, it was just to have somebody to talk to about triathlon.
Over to Matt and Jillian. Matt, let's hear from you. Because again, I know Jay was kind of the person who sparked the idea for y'all to do a podcast. And so just kind of tell us, where did that start with him, and how did you and Jillian get roped into it, and how did it become the show that it is now?
Absolutely. I mean, the skinny of it for myself was I had no inspiration to be on a podcast. We were hanging out in Lake Placid, Jay, Jillian, and myself, and we're all sitting around talking, just kind of bantering, talking about how we got into racing, telling how Jay and I had known each other for so long, our stories. And very quickly, all three of us were like, wow, like we all come from different backgrounds, different stories, different motivators. And I mean, that kind of brought up this whole idea of like an age grouper, like all the different stories out there and the journey that they all have to the finish line and everything that they have to deal with on day-to-day life. We're not professionals. We don't get to just wake up and train. We don't have meals prepared for us. We don't have equipment provided to us. We have to save for a bike. We got to drop kids off at school. We got to make meals. We got to earn those medals we were talking about before in the warm-up, you know? So everyday struggles and not just training. But that's what I love about this. And like I said, it's really allowed me, Jay, and I know, I think Jillian feels the same way, to share our stories and just to get to know people and where they're coming from. So it's been enriching for me as an athlete, me as a coach, and me as an individual. So,
yep. And I'm pretty sure I'm just another voice along for the ride to help keep Matt Summar in line with his quote count and ensure he's not talking the whole time.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Now, Jillian, I'm curious from your perspective. I noticed that Matt said that the three of you were in Lake Placid when you first kind of sparked the conversation of, hey, maybe the three of us could do a podcast. That'd be cool. And that was your first Ironman Lake Placid. Like you were there to race, correct?
Yeah.
So you had that conversation when you're out on the course, which is the pressure of your first Ironman, going through the motions of the day, hours and hours on course. Were you thinking about your future potential podcast at all? Or was it out of head once you were in race mode?
No, was not thinking about it at all.
Okay.
So not
you were in the zone.
Lie.
Good. Good.
I was in the zone. Yep. After, if anything, it was probably just couldn't wait till the race was over. So then we could just sit and, you know, ramble about the experience.
I do want to jump in there. Our first episode was actually recorded after 70.3 Worlds at St. George. So Jillian had raced on Saturday. Jay and I raced on Sunday. We all stayed together again. And Sunday night after 70.3 Worlds, that was our first episode ever that we recorded. So it did happen at the races.
Very cool. Yeah, it was founded at the races. It was started at the races. And I'm sure that's not the only episode you guys will record at the races together. So next, I kind of want to hear from everybody on what is your podcast? What's the format? What happens on each episode? Obviously, if someone's listening to us here, they already know the format of our show. We go warm up, main set, cool down. We structure the show like a workout. We try to keep the warm up short. I'm sorry we go long sometimes. We try to put a different coach tip on the cool down at the end, and then we camp out in the main topic in the middle. Just like your workout has your main set is kind of the main idea. We have our main set here, and so I just kind of want to hear from you guys on what is your show, what makes it unique, what makes it different, because these days there's so many podcasts, and in triathlon there's so many podcasts. I mean, you've got to have something that makes your show different, that makes people want to tune in. And so when you're forming your show, you have to kind of think through, what is our identity? What are we doing with this show? And let's go most recent to oldest here. Back over to you, Matt and Jillian. Jillian, tell us a little bit about y'all's show.
Yeah, so we'll start with an intro, just kind of check in, banter, see how everyone's week went. And then Matt has on his personal Facebook and Instagram page, he's known for his quotes. And so we thought it would be great to incorporate that into our podcast flow. So after we kind of check in with everyone, we'll have Matt kick off his quote of the week. And he'll give something that Jay and I try to be inspired by, or we'll rack our brains trying to figure out what our take on that quote is. He'll stump us a few times, but you know, at the end of the day, it just kind of gets conversation and gets us thinking about, you know, maybe something inspiring or just taking another look at our lives and how we're balancing everything. After the quote, then we'll have a unique guest every time. And so we'll jump right in and just listen and hear their story, hear what they've gone through. If we have an expert, you know, we'll have them give us some guidance, ask some questions, and then we'll just roll into a closeout and talk about anything that might be coming up the next week.
I was going to say, I'll jump in on that. I mean, we are very unscripted. I think in our early infant stages, we did a lot of like brainstorming of, hey, who are these potential guests that we can get, and tried to find some inspiring stories, because as an age grouper, you know, it's not just top tier athletes. We're not looking for the elites. Yeah, we've had a few on the show that are very top tier athletes, but we also have people that have struggled to get to the finish line, people that have DNF multiple times, people that are dealing with cancer, with depression, postpartum, that are coming back. We have people, I mean, just all aspects of life, all different ages. I mean, it's amazing what everybody out there is doing, and we're all triathletes, and that's what's so great about this community. So a lot of times completely unscripted, and I think we come in with maybe some guidance.
Yeah, and often they're guiding us. I mean, myself included, I'll be asking for tips and tricks from them as well, from their experiences. Our guests are what make our podcast unique.
When we launched the TriDot podcast, part of my frustration as an athlete is I was looking for podcasts to educate me, to teach me. And most of them that were out there already, and not a knock on them, they're great, but most of them that were out there already, they just interview professional triathletes. And I love the pros. There's a lot of pros that I'm a big fan of. We've brought some pros on the R show. But for the most part, if I've heard any one of them share their story once, I've heard it plenty of times. I think there should be more people lifting up the age group story and lifting up the everyday triathlete story, because to me, that's where the heart of the sport is. The everyday age grouper, that is the heartbeat of the sport. So Mike, do you see comparisons between your show and Matt and Jillian's show, or am I putting an unfair comparison out there?
No, it's funny because listening to Jillian talk about it, I was sitting there thinking, well, man, mine's not as is really not that unique. They're very, very similar. It's funny, when I started my podcast, or I started looking into it, because I didn't know a lot, I had to join a few Facebook groups, and everybody said, you got to have a 10-word description. So my 10-word description is actually Tales of the Extraordinary as Told by the Ordinary.
Nice.
I had a couple people help me come up with that. And it's really funny because it's really rung true. And I've gotten really overwhelmed by the number of messages that I've gotten from people who have listened to the show commenting on how relatable the guests are. I'm not a coach. And like Jillian said, I'm looking to learn. And so I ask a lot of questions. I don't have a real structured format. A lot of times I have a guest come on because they had just completed a race, and I let them walk us through the journey to give others, you know, some insight into what that race is like. You know, how did the swim start go? What was transition like, and all of those things. So, I think there's a lot of similarities. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between ours. So that's awesome.
I think people come to Tridot for the coaching, and we love that. We love that. That's what we are in the podcast space, and I love that y'all are out there getting stories and getting people on there and getting inspired by it. And Rich, it sounds like your show, the 303 Endurance Podcast, is a little bit more geared like mine is, where you're just trying to pick the brain of more knowledgeable people. So tell us a little bit about your format, what you're trying to do.
Well, first, yeah, you need to understand the 303 Endurance Podcast is named after the original area code for Colorado. That's where the 303 comes from.
Nice.
And so it does have a little bit of a local, regional focus, right?
That's really cool.
We do cover a lot of local races, regional things. We are not just constrained to triathlon. We cover cycling, running, ultra running, swimming, you name it. And our guests kind of run the gamut. They aren't just all triathletes. And our brand is really kind of that tagline of weekly interviews with coaches, experts, and pro athletes. And my co-host Bill Plock and I have this. You know, every episode, we typically either have a feature interview or a feature discussion. The feature discussion might be a coaching topic. And that's usually followed by either international, national endurance news. And then we bring it home to kind of a local Colorado endurance events type of topic. You know, pro athletes, you know, we've had everywhere from, you know, Dave Scott, and Mark Allen to Christian Blumenfeld and Taylor Nibb, and most of them in between. Coaches, John Mayfield, Suri Lindley, Sarah McLarty, Jim Vance, some of the more recognizable expert coaches out there. Educational topics. We've talked about Andy Blow from Precision Hydration. You know, we've had him on our podcast.
Great guy.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say when we first got started, it was not very easy to get, you know, some of the bigger names, get pro triathletes. You had to kind of build a little bit of a reputation over time and have them see your previous guest list to know that you're kind of legit.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it took a while to build that. But that's, you know, that's kind of our shtick, if you will. What's unique, our icebreaker with guests is always two truths and a lie. We've pulled out some really valuable secrets that are in vault somewhere, I'm pretty sure. that we have this segment, the local news segment of it is called What's New in the 303. And that is a phrase that was actually borrowed from Tyler Hamilton, who joined us as a guest. And when we introduced him on the show, he replied, "Hey boys, what's new in the 303?
So and it stuck.
It stuck.
I just want to hear just what have you learned about podcasting along the way? And Mike, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I would say since I do my own editing, probably the biggest evolution of my podcast is I learned to keep my mouth shut more I'm a better listener now. And so I think learning to be a good listener on podcasts actually helped, you know, made me a better listener in person. We do a lot of
it made you a better human being.
It did, yeah. Because a lot of the meetings that we have through work are through teams similar to what we're doing. And so you learn to keep your mouth shut, let somebody finish their train of thought, and then reference back what they were referring to. So I think probably that's the biggest evolution since I started podcasting.
There's some really juicy stuff I've said on the podcast that y'all have never heard because it just didn't make the final edit, because the point is the coaches who are on the show. Really, the only thing that has evolved on the TryDot podcast, I mean, we started off very well organized and kind of stayed organized. We started intentionally with only a handful of coaches that would come on the show. The more voices you bring on a show like mine, where you're trying to give wisdom every single week, you kind of lose track as an audience member of whose voice is whose and whose story is what. And so we kind of intentionally keep that small. Now that we've launched our YouTube channel, we're hoping to bring more coaches onto our YouTube channel. You can see the face, right? And so you can remember a face. You don't always remember a voice and whose name that voice was attached to. So that's how ours has evolved and will continue to evolve, is just by widening the circle of guests and experts we bring on the show. Matt, Jillian, for the two of you, your podcasting journey is still somewhat young, but what have you learned, and has anything changed?
Getting to know your co-hosts and understanding the general group dynamics and how to lead the conversation and kind of picking up on when each other has something to say, so you're not constantly talking like I am right now. Because I can keep talking and talking. So
He can. One of the pieces of feedback early on, having Jay and Matt on, even though, you know, I know them very well, to me, their voices are very distinct. But to somebody that doesn't know us, it's learning that, hey, actually, you kind of need to introduce yourself or them as you guys are speaking, because I received the feedback of, hey, sometimes it's hard to know who's talking. Is it Matt or is it Jay? My voice is probably unique enough that it's pretty obvious. And then when you introduce a guest into the mix, it can really throw new listeners off. So that was something that we learned over time as well.
And one other thing I'll throw in there, I'm still learning on this, is the emotional connection. I mean, the emotions that we can feel during one of our podcasts, hearing the journey or hearing the struggles of the athlete that we're talking to, you can't get accustomed to what the emotion is going to be. We've shared tears. We've shared laughter. I mean, I know we've had athletes that have cried, and we've cried with them hearing their stories. And it's like, I don't think you can ever be prepared for what's going to come out of their mouth and how vulnerable they're going to allow themselves to be and share. You can't prepare for those things. So there is always going to be that kind of on the fly piece. And, you know, that's that genuine, heartfelt part of what we're doing. So
there's no crying in podcasting, Matt.
There's no crying in podcasting. There's plenty of crying in podcasting. Let's talk about triathlon for just a little bit. I know this is a podcast about triathlon podcasting, but I do want to hear about the sport of triathlon. From all the interviews you've done, all the people that you've had come on your shows, hit us just with your top maybe nugget about the sport, swim, bike, run, nutrition, whatever. What is something that you learned while hosting your show that just really stuck with you? Rich Suarez.
I don't know if you all remember Dr. Amanda Stevens. She was a professional Ironman triathlete and consultant focusing on sports nutrition and general health and wellness. She came onto our show, and one of the topics we were talking about was hydration and hydration testing. And the tip that she shared with our listeners was that she actually uses those urinalysis strips to test her hydration in her buildup to races. So I don't know if you're familiar with the, you know, urinalysis strips that can test all sorts of things, but one of the things it tests is specific gravity. And it's just a strip that you line up with some color charts, right? And it tells you how hydrated you are. And that turned out to be one of the tips that we got the most feedback on. And I still use it today. It's a column in my sweat testing spreadsheet before and after, and some of my athletes use it too.
And we'll see if that becomes one of the tips that we hear about from you saying it on our podcast, from hearing it on your podcast. Moving this over to Matt and Jillian, what is something from your episodes that is just a try nugget that stood out for you? Jillian.
So I would say I learned the ketchup drill works in swimming. Oatmeal cream pies are great endurance fuel. and that never be afraid to try to start something new, start small, and you never know what it'll turn into. So we've had guests just go out and work with a few kids, and next thing you know, they've got a huge movement of involving kids in after school sports, and or it's just some guys having a beer, wanting to start a team, and next thing you know, you're branching out to a really big team. I also learned that some of the triathlon teams in college, at the college level, they actually don't have training plans. This is a hint to TriDot, maybe a area Matt, you guys could tap into. But a lot of those college kids, even at the top, tier schools, they're just winging it, swim, bike, run. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, she covered a lot of it. I think every guest we've had, their journey's been so different. But I think the common root of every single one of our athletes, and I know Jay, Jillian, and I talk about this every single episode, it's the emotional and psychological side of racing with gratitude. At the end of the day, nothing is guaranteed. We are not guaranteed our next breath. We are not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow morning. We are not guaranteed that finish line. We're not even guaranteed to make it to race day. But I think at the end of the day, racing with gratitude and an open heart and encouraging those around you makes you a better athlete. What better way to pick yourself up than picking others up? And I think that is a common theme of every single athlete that we've had on our pod. And it's something I try to instill in every athlete I coach. So racing with gratitude. And I know Jay, Jillian, and I talk about that every single episode.
Yep. TriDot coach Joanna Namey says that really well on just racing with a grateful heart is the way she puts it. But love that you're hearing that from all your guests as well. Mike, you had one particular guest that I think was really, really good that I'm sure you're going to share a nugget that he said on your show. His name was Andrew Harley, Andrew the Average Triathlete, some guy from TriDot. I'm sure you're going to share a nugget that you learned from him, right?
There were so many things that I've learned throughout my podcasting journey. And you know, we've talked about it. I, like Matt and Jillian, talked to a lot of age group athletes, but I actually unknowingly, in the very beginning, booked the 2012 Ironman World Champion, Pete Jacobs, as a guest on my podcast. And honestly, I didn't know who he was at when I booked him. And he agreed to come on and was so very knowledgeable and generous. And what he taught me was the importance of developing what he referred to, and you guys are probably familiar because you're so much more educated than I am, the resiliency. And he described it as your ability to stay calm under stress. And so a couple of the things that he mentioned, meditation, this and that, but controlling your breathing, he said, was one of the fundamental keys of increasing CO2 tolerance. And what he taught me was, if I feel my heart rate rising, if I take a breath and hold my breath for 5 beats before exhaling, it'll actually lower my heart rate over time. And so I've been practicing that for 2 years. So it's definitely stuck with me. And I have to say that I can lower my heart rate by 5 beats per minute, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but it makes the difference on my zone 2 runs of having to stop and walk or being able to continue at my current pace. And so that's probably the nugget that has stuck with me more than anything else, because he was a guest back on like episode 7, way back in the beginning.
So all of us on this podcast, you know, we were all triathlon junkies well before we had our own podcast. And I think starting an endurance sport podcast, it's beyond doubling down on the triathlon obsession. We've all at this point pretty much like quintupled down on the role triathlon plays in our lives. So I'm curious to hear from y'all on this. Now that you are just neck deep in this sport, you are a triathlon podcaster. Has hosting a triathlon podcast changed your relationship with the sport? Matt Sommer.
100%. I mean, by the nature of our pod, hearing what are struggles for others that maybe I've never experienced has opened my eyes beyond belief. Being part of this podcast has not only made me a better athlete because I've gained knowledge from our guests. it's made me a better coach. I mean, what better way to improve your coaching skills than hearing firsthand from athletes some of their fears, their anxieties, their struggles? Because maybe my athletes aren't telling me that they're dealing with this. Maybe these athletes, or I'll run across one of my athletes that had a similar situation and this is what worked. So all the nuggets of knowledge that they're sharing, or maybe I didn't know that this was a thing for athletes to experience. Now I've become more knowledgeable and I can share that and I'm more aware, or maybe I'm more sensitive to this now. So it's definitely increased my ability to relate and understand and enhance my approach to coaching. A better listener. I'll throw out my first quote. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, you know?
Think about that one, folks. Think about that one. I like, Matt, that for you, this answer kind of circles back to your coaching, because it's expanded the amount of things that you have in your head to talk to your athletes about as you coach them. So, you know, Rich, you are also a TriDot coach of all of us on this episode. Is that answer similar for you? Is it kind of made a difference for you as a coach, or is there a different way that it's kind of changed your relationship with triathlon?
Well, I'll start with this. When I first started the podcast, I wasn't a coach.
Okay.
I was just a regular athlete, yeah. Just trying to learn the ropes and learn from others. The first thing it did was expose me to coaching. After, you know, about a year or so, I started getting requests to coach people, and that led to getting a USAT, you know, certification. And, you know, here we are several years later, and now I'm enjoying being a TriDot coach. So you never know how something like this is going to kind of influence your kind of career as an athlete, or, you know, your career as a triathlete. I'll tell you, one of the other things that I think it's changed in terms of my relationships is it's the relationships I've developed with my guests and in this industry and with other coaches that has probably been the biggest surprising reward in all of this. Is every one of these interviews, and I think you've all said this in one way or another, is you get to have conversations that you don't get to have with normal people. You know, meaning like you don't have in your everyday life.
Yeah.
And things come out that surprise the heck out of you, but then you end up with this experience that you had with this other person that I now take with me the rest of my life. And I'm really grateful for that. The other relationship that probably changes is my family, because they hardly ever see me, because I'm either training, racing, coaching, or podcasting, triathlon.
Yep. Just it's an all around lifestyle. Again, you've quintupled down on the triathlon obsession. I will say publicly for our listeners, Jillian, who's been with us on the episode, just had to take off. If you don't hear Jillian the rest of the episode, it's not because we're not letting her talk. She had to take off, but so thankful that we got to hear from her. For me, this answer, the way I've come on full-time at TriDot doing media for TriDot has changed my relationship with the sport more than anything. Because before, you know, when I woke up and I looked at my training plan, I went and did my swim and did my bike and did my run, whatever it was. You know, that was it. Like, it was just very like, what am I doing next? What am I racing next? What group ride am I joining next? And how it's changed my relationship with the sport is my personal experience with triathlon has really taken a back seat to kind of the community service I do in terms of bringing knowledge to our athletes, bringing TriDot know-how to our athletes, helping people have a good experience with our app, with our training at the races. I just, at this stage, I care more about that than I care about my own personal result. And a day will come where I have to really focus back on my training again to get there. And I'll do that when the time is right. But for now, my relationship with the sport is more about empowering other people to have a great experience in this sport. And that's changed for me through podcasting and through coming on board with TriDot. Mike Bosch, how about you? Has your relationship changed at all since you started your podcast?
The way that the podcast has changed me more than anything else is it's held me more accountable, because now I'm putting my, you know, being vulnerable and letting people know what I'm struggling with and
you
know, what my goals are. And so I have people that are tracking me. And, you know, the other day I didn't feel like doing a workout, but I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to know that I didn't get it done. Like,
people
are going to text.
Yeah.
Yep. They do. They follow me on social media. They follow me on that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to get out and do it. And so it's made me better, as a result. So it was something that I definitely didn't anticipate, when I started. But it's definitely made me a better athlete for sure.
Yeah. So Mike, just listening to your show over the last few years since you've had it, most episodes, to your point that you said earlier, you interview somebody else. It's you interviewing everyday Ironman, everyday triathletes. And but you do every so often throw an episode out there that is not that, where you instead kind of just give an update on how your training is going or how your racing is going or how you're feeling. And so that's just a super cool thing you do. And yes, all of us, just by throwing out our experience on a podcast, it makes us vulnerable, right? It makes you vulnerable because you're sharing your experiences, your hopes, your dreams, your fears. But it also makes you vulnerable because there's the potential for bloopers. And I know the Tridot audience is always begging us to release blooper reels. And I'm going to be honest, we really don't have a ton, but we do have some snafu moments that I can share, and I certainly will. So let's go there. What is your biggest blooper moment from podcasting? I'll certainly share one or two of mine. Over to Coach Rich. What's your biggest blooper from podcasting?
We're 45 minutes into an interview with Michael Horvath from Strava, talking about, you know, the origin of Strava and, cool, you know, all of this, and had some great moments. And 45 minutes in, I look down and I do not see the recording running.
So I felt that coming in your story.
Talk about feeling crushed and embarrassed and trying, you know, just, he was very humble and we went back and re-recorded everything. Not sure it was as good as the first take, but yeah. There's my blooper.
It absolutely happens, right? It's everybody's worst fear. My biggest blooper in terms of the Tridot podcast, early on, our staff would either record episodes together in the same room, or everybody would have to independently record their own audio to their local computer. And Dr. Krista Austin, she's come on the show dozens of times helping us talk about nutrition. She's our go-to resource when it comes to nutrition for our athletes. Well, this one time, and if you've ever used GarageBand, you know GarageBand's default settings, there is a metronome that is turned on unless you turn it off, because GarageBand is built for musicians. And so I know very easily, just the first thing I ever do if I am creating a GarageBand file, I turn the metronome off. And I just, this one time, I guess I didn't check to see if Krista had done that, and she didn't know to do that. She's not a media professional. She's a nutrition and strength and conditioning coach. And so we do a whole hour-long podcast, kind of like what you're talking about, Rich. She sends me her audio file. I pull it in the post, and there's a click, 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 click every 3 seconds in the audio. And you can't remove that. Like, it's way too obtrusive of a noise. And so Krista and I had to get on a call, and same as you, Rich, she was very gracious. And we didn't re-record the whole episode. It was me, Elizabeth, and Krista. Elizabeth didn't have to join. I didn't have to re-say everything. It was basically just like me saying the question again so that she could just repeat her responses. And we edited it in. No one ever knew. But shout out to Dr. Krista Austin for taking the time to do that. And that's our biggest kerfluffle I think we've had recording our episodes. Matt Summar.
You know, we're only 29 episodes deep, and I don't know if we've been fortunate, but we have not. Nice. We've had enough of them, but nothing major.
Good.
I think the biggest one that we deal with on a week-to-week basis is the intro and the closing. For some reason, we can never remember our Instagram handle or our email. And when you go to, say, Triathlon Age Group Journey, it comes out Triathlon Age Group Journal. It comes out Triathlon Group A, and we just stumble over our own words. We've been pretty fortunate so far that we haven't had any major issues. So
yeah, and I hope that continues for you. I really, really do.
We're still young. We're ready for them, though.
Yeah,
we're learning from you all. You know,
make sure you hit record, Matt. Make sure you hit record.
Hit
right,
record. Hit record.
All right, Mike. Any bloopers from your show?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would have to say, besides me mispronouncing my guests' names, which I have done multiple times.
I always ask.
Blunder.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's an obvious one, you always ask.
Yeah. But anyway, my biggest blunder is I accidentally released the same episode 2 weeks in a row with a different title. And so, you know, all of my, the majority of my episodes are interviews. So I had the guest's name correct, but I re-released the previous week's episode and it was live for like 4 hours before anybody messaged me and they said, "Hey, I think there's a problem with the podcast today." And I was like,
"That was last week's.
No.
Yeah, it was last week's show."
Yeah. So I had to go back, find the file. Oh, it was, I was so embarrassed.
That's when you just say, so guys, last week was so good. I wanted you to hear it again. That's all. That's all I was doing.
Yeah. Except for I tagged the current guests, Instagram in the post and everything. Like they were all excited. Oh, it was just so embarrassing.
So just a couple of questions left here. And this has just been, for me at least, just a really fun conversation. I was really amped for this episode. And I've been fortunate to have a lot of great conversations. But this one I was personally jazzed about, just to kind of talk shop and highlight some different Tryout athletes and coaches who have great shows in and of themselves. And so for all of you, I'm curious to hear, as you look forward, you know, what is the goal for your podcast? What do you hope the future holds for your journey in podcasting? And Rich, you've been doing this longer than any of us, so I'll send this over your way first.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I got into podcasting wanting to learn from others and share this content with others, didn't anticipate the coaching career coming out of it. I am probably wanting to influence our content, getting more into kind of coaching information, giving advice to athletes, probably steering it more in the direction of how can people learn from the podcast, learn from coaches more than, pro athletes and that sort of thing. I think as I get further into my coaching career, I'm having less and less time to podcast. So I'm going to have to, probably be a little bit smarter about my use of time with the podcast and how we leverage it. So
that's a very mature sentiment right there to recognize that and to make that adjustment as you move forward, for sure. Mike, for you, what do you hope the podcasting future holds?
Yeah, it's a crazy question, and so I'm going to be vulnerable, and I actually have something, and I'm going to share it with you. And so last year, I recognized kind of what Rich said. It's overwhelming. It's a lot. I mean, as much fun as it is, and no matter how much I enjoy it, it's a lot to take on. And so I actually reached out to a previous guest and I asked her, I said, "Hey, what would you think about hosting your own episode of the podcast?" And so I allowed Jenna Russell to come on and she hosted her own episode. I wasn't on it at all. I did the editing and all that back.
And more
the,
people kind of listened,
behind the
didn't
scenes
they?
Stuff. It was very well received. And so she did, she found her own guests.
That's
she
awesome.
Wrote her own questions. And I would say that if I could find 5 or 6 people who wanted to get into podcasting or into triathlon, but really just didn't know where to go, I would love to have, a little network of people doing what I do, or, what Matt and Jillian do, just sharing age group stories and sharing where they are. I think it's just been such a blessing, getting to know people and, hearing the feedback of how valuable the stories are to individuals. So I don't know if we'll ever get there. But that would be kind of my wish.
And I love, Mike, I love that you started with a former guest of yours who probably also listened to your show. So it's not like you went out and found somebody who was a podcasting savant. Like you brought somebody from the family of your podcast, kind of elevated them to a position of host. And I think that's really, really cool. I've not heard one of her episodes, but now I'm going to go listen to one of her episodes and see how she did.
Yeah. Yeah, she actually, and what's funny is she's actually a new Tri-Dot athlete. She
Yay.
Shared with me this past week that she's now using Tri-Dot. Yeah, and so she joins me when she can, but we're looking for another opportunity for her to host her own show. And I've got a couple people that have kind of hinted around that they would like to do it. So I'm going to explore that a little bit just to see, how well that's received.
That's the cool thing with podcasting. There's so many different approaches you can take. There's so many different ways you can format the show and approach the show. And even within the sample size of this episode, we're all Tri-Dotters who take a very different approach to triathlon podcasting. And I think that's really, really cool. Matt Sommer, just representing the newest show on the block here on this show. When you guys look forward from your show, the three of you that are the hosts of it, what do you guys hope the future holds?
It's three little words. And those that know me know it's not passion, purpose, progress. That goes back to my coaching. But the three words that really motivate are going to be that for the purpose of our podcast is going to be motivate, cultivate, and inspire. We want to motivate people. We want to cultivate a community. And we want to inspire those around us. Triathlon is all about a community. We all have something to give back to it because we're taking so much from it. And I think at the end of the day, you're always supposed to give more than you take. And again, if we can use this platform that we all love and that we're all using day to day, all four of us here, okay, for four different shows, if we can use it not only to motivate individuals to get into the sport, cultivate the triathlon community, and then inspire those around us, we're winning. We're doing our job. We're doing a great job and we're having fun doing it.
Yeah, I love that, Matt. And for TriDot, it's educate, inspire, and entertain, right? You know, those are our guiding principles for our media channels. And for our team, when we look forward, we're going to keep the podcast rolling. The podcast is doing great. We're happy with who's listening and we're happy with the education that gets out there and what we're able to do with it. The future for us is trying to get more content out on YouTube, you know, trying to get our coaches on camera, educating people in the sport. We're trying to do more with social media. We're taking some core coaches and athletes and getting them on social media, just helping educate other athletes who are on Instagram and TikTok and Reels and all those apps to kind of encounter our coaching expertise in those formats. So for us, it's taking the knowledge and it's taking the heart and the positive attitude that is the TriDot family and just trying to spread it out to other channels. But I'm just excited that even with only having one TriDot podcast, in a way, I feel like TriDot has a ton of podcasts because you're all TriDot ambassadors, you're all TriDot coaches, and you're out there not specifically talking about TriDot, but as a core member of our family, you're representing our brand very well in the public space. So thank you for that. And before we go today, I want to give all of you the chance. If someone is a frequent listener of the TriDot podcast, but they've never fired up one of your episodes, but they want to give you guys a shot and see what you're doing with your show, leave us today with one episode that is your go-to recommendation for people to check out. Rich Soares, what is it for the 303 Endurance Podcast?
And I have to call out episode 266, January 8th, 2021, Tez Steinberg. This guy rose 2,700 miles by himself from California to Hawaii in 71 days. It is an amazing journey. He talks about the training that includes things like, you know, being by himself.
Yeah.
By himself for 30 days just so he can get used to being by himself. It's an amazing story. And the physical hardship, the stress, the amazing things he saw while he was in this small little solar-powered, you know, rowboat, solar-powered for all of his, you know, equipment to document the journey and so forth. Amazing episode. 266, January 8th, 2021, Tez Steinberg.
Yeah, and a really cool attribute of your show, being an endurance podcast and not necessarily always triathlon-specific, is getting to talk to guests like that. So very, very great recommendation. I'm excited to fire that one up from your show. Mike Bosch from the Everyday Ironman podcast. What is one episode you recommend to our listeners?
I mean, episode 86, where I interviewed Andrew Harley.
Of course.
You know, is obviously, I mean, that's the obvious recommendation. But I would say behind that, episode 20, I had the opportunity to interview Brooklyn Coffee. Brooklyn was 19 years old at the time when she finished Ironman Indiana. And the reason she got into triathlon was her father, who was an Ironman athlete, had a stroke in, I think, 2019. And through his recovery, she started training with him to keep him company and to make sure that he was safe. And then it was all three of them, Brooklyn, Travis, and Kim, the mom, they all finished Ironman Indiana together in 2021. And so just her story, her passion at such a young age, the wisdom that she shared, I think it just kind of embodies all the things that, you know, that we try to get out there and give a relatable story. So that's my go-to.
Yeah. Between those two that you shared, mine and hers, definitely go listen to hers and not mine. There are certainly,
yours is really good.
There are certainly more interesting people on this planet besides me. And I know Mike's interviewed many of them. So yeah, great recommendation there. Matt Summer, what is this for you?
You know, Andrew, it depends. That's the best answer I can give you. We've had such a diverse group of guests that I really think the individual who's asking me depends where are they in the sport at this point? What are they looking for? Because we've had such a diverse guest list. We've had race directors. We've had bike fitters. We've had postpartum. We've had depression. We've had ultra beasts like Jason Verbracken and John Kelly. We've had amazing coaches like Brandy Ramirez and John Mayfield and Brock Walaska. But if I had to pick one episode, and Jay and Jillian would probably give you different episodes, and that's what's great is that we all have a different perspective on this. Mine would have to be episode number 3. I love this woman. She is one of my most favorite human beings in the entire world. She is known as the old bag, the badass grandma. The one, the only, the legendary Kay Grant. Kay, I love you, woman. You are amazing. Her story will inspire you. It will make you cry. It will make you laugh. And if it doesn't motivate you to get your butt up off the couch and go do a triathlon, I don't know what will. She's going for her first iron distance race ever at Sacramento coming up here later this year. There's a hashtag going around, hashtag Kay made me do it. There's going to be a huge Tri-Dot contingency there. I am so proud to be her coach. The woman never ceases to amaze me, and she is the epitome of what an age group triathlete is to me.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
All right, everyone. It's Coach Cooldown Tip Time, and I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. Our featured coach today is a jack of all trades. From owning his own medical practice as a physician's assistant to race directing, leading TriDot's ambassador and community programs, coaching triathlon, and racing himself, I'm not actually sure if this man sleeps. Triathlon has played a huge role in Dan Caskey's life as a means to get healthy, and he is on a roll with having lost over 100 pounds since 2017. He is a USAT Level 1 certified coach and is passionate about helping busy and traveling professionals balance work, life, travel, and family, all while crushing their triathlon goals. With his analytical mind, he excels at using data to get his athletes to their next level and focuses on recovery to keep the body in tip-top shape. He lives in South Carolina with his beautiful and supportive wife, Kim, and is a proud parent to two amazing kids. Welcome to the Cool Down, Dan.
Hey, hey, thanks for having me.
Now, it is abundantly clear, Dan, that you live your life to the fullest. And this often includes spending a lot of time in nature in your family's camper. So tell me what the most beautiful spot you have camped with your family.
There's a lot of them. I mean, we're actually getting ready to head to one of our favorite places this weekend, this next week for a birthday week. So we're going to the lake. One of my favorite memories is camping in Jacksonville, Florida, at Huguenot Campground. It's right on the St. John's River where it meets the ocean, and so you camp on the river, but you can drive and park your vehicle right. Like you literally drive on the sand. And so the sun comes up and we did sunrise on the beach and the kids can play. It was just an amazing time. I did it with my family with one of the triathlons was there. Very, very special memory to us. Oh. So that'd be one of my top places there, Huguenot. And it's a beautiful time.
That sounds amazing. Like maybe we'll have to get my family packed up and head all the way down to Florida at some point. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There's so many amazing places in Florida to come camp.
Well, you are here to tell us about a coaching tip. So what tri-tip do you have for our listeners today?
Yeah, a lot of what I think about is preparation. And so safety is a big thing for me. I come from a background in medicine and emergency medicine. And so often when things don't go well, But I want to talk about colors in preparation for outdoor running and cycling today. So we're going to talk about three colors when you're outdoors and when to use them. The first one is the fluorescent green. And why do we use that fluorescent green as well? It's because it sticks out to the eye and the eye notices it. So it actually does work. So those crazy vests that everybody wears and that fluorescent yellow stuff, it actually works. But it needs to be in full sun. When you start getting changing daylight, it's not your best choice. And not everybody knows that. So your best choice for changing daylight is actually that fluorescent red. So that'll help you stand out in that changing of the color. So if you're going to be running early in the morning as dusk starts to come, maybe consider that red versus the fluorescent orange. And another thing, well, at least for me here in the South, is white. Solid white is not normally occurring in nature unless you're, you know, in the snowy region. So for most of the year, a solid white is a great color for a running shirt that actually sticks out, or specifically speaking of helmets. So I train in my white, solid white helmet when I'm cycling on the road. I have two blinking lights on it as well, and a couple other things that I use. But as far as color goes, having a solid white helmet helps you stick out in the environment, or a solid white shirt. So those are things to consider. I'm also a huge fan of things like Garmin radars to be aware, the Knox gear vest for visual identification and those changing things, and other lights. So think about your colors when you're running. Tried out red, always a good one to have. And that solid white for sticking out, unless you're in those icy regions or snowy regions, I suppose.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think I actually have been caught a couple of times in some snowstorms in the dark as well, while commuting home from work late at night. So white might not be the greatest color, but you're telling me, so in the dark, aside from having blinking lights, is there a color that's best for the dark, like riding in the dark?
So that reflective, they call it scotch light, that something that reflects light on you, you know, and a white would reflect anything that will reflect light, right? So darker colors absorb light, brighter colors reflect light. And specifically, if you have something that's reflective, so grabbing one of those vests or something that is reflective, actively reflective at night. I have these really cool things you can actually iron onto your clothes. So if you have a favorite shirt, but it doesn't have those reflectives, they make iron-on reflective patches you can put on there. So you can turn anything into a cool, safe outdoor night gear. And then, like I said, a lot of lights and products. One of the things I love is Knox gear. They make the light vest. You look like Tron a little bit when you're running, and it flashes colors. And so those are fun. But anybody who's been in the military or around the military knows what a PT belt is. And so they're used to having some kind of reflective stripe around them. It's more and more dangerous as we think about where and when to run and planning it out, or having a team and certainly letting people know where you're going to be is super important. But if you're not familiar with the area, it's a little tough sometimes. And, you know, you got to make the good choices. And I feel like, you know, God's got a plan for our life, and we can make smart choices. And so if you're going to be out there, do optimize what you can, but still, you know, run where you feel comfortable. A lot of cool trails around, or, you know, sometimes you have to just find that Walmart parking lot and do a couple laps in it when you're running. And that's what it is, you know, even though these days that might be a busy spot, but a lot of mall parking lots become a really good, safe place to hang out these days because nobody's there.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.